So this morning I was asked to speak something that might inspire book distribution, either if you're doing it or supporting it. And on the way over, I was meditating on Prabhupada's giving up sleep to write books. And I was thinking, you only give up sleep if something's really important, isn't it? Like when you have children, you give up sleep. Of course, you don't have a choice. But obviously, when your children wake up in the middle of the night hungry, you don't put them in a closet and say, let me sleep. They're important. You take care of them. Anything important, obviously, you would lose sleep over if you needed to. Yes? So Prabhupada needed to translate his books, and because the movement was expanding, he wasn't finding time during the day, or he wasn't finding the proper environment because there was too much going on, too much on his mind, to focus on translation. So then he decided that the best way to do this would be to do it in the early morning hours, and that if he could sleep 2 or 3 hours and get up, then he would be able to do this service. So he prayed to Krishna, please help me. And he was able to do that. And we all know this, but I don't know if we understand the context. It wasn't his normal schedule. It became his schedule later. And he prayed to Krishna to give him the strength to do that. So he's sacrificing his sleep so he can do something. That something must be important. Yes? Now, how important is it? Well, we have the Krishna conscious movement with so many temples, and of course, Prabhupada wanted us to open many temples, and he said that, especially in the early days. But he also said the book distribution was more important than the temples, and that the book distribution should not suffer at the cost of other projects. This is first. So what we may not understand or understand exactly is that when Prabhupada came to the West, his mission was really to write books, publish and distribute, not to open temples. The temples was a consequence because as he was preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness, people were coming. When people are coming, as Prabhupada said, if I sit under a tree, it's not impressive. And plus, you need a place for people to associate, sangha. So Prabhupada was creating temples. But the real purpose behind the temple was book distribution. And as Prabhupada said, our temples are not places for eating and sleeping, but places where our soldiers, it's like the barracks of the soldiers where they go out to distribute books or to preach in other ways. So when things were not going, when there were problems coming to Prabhupada, he would complain. He said, this is giving me a headache and I can't translate. So Prabhupada formed the GBC to relieve him of the headaches so that he could translate. So everything is centered around book distribution. And then there's a purport, which you may know in Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada said, I want to retire and turn over the management to my disciples so that I can just translate books. So that was really Prabhupada's mission. Now, another thought, and these are hopefully thoughts that will inspire you, that things which you can remember during this month to inspire you if you're directly engaged in book distribution or in doing something to support it. I think it was George Harrison who said something like, God loves the one who loves God the most. Did he say that? Who knows? God loves the one who loves the one who loves God the most. In other words, if you love the person who loves Krishna, then Krishna loves you. So once, so obviously we want to please Prabhupada. If we please Prabhupada, then Krishna's pleased. And pleasing Krishna in one sense is easy, but in one sense not so easy. And if you can please the one that's most dear to Krishna, Krishna is automatically pleased with you. And so distributing Prabhupada's books is such an amazing way to please Prabhupada. And naturally, we please Krishna. So, there's a story. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, once Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, why are we distributing books? And the devotees gave so many reasons, all of which were correct, but none of which Prabhupada accepted. At least in this context, that's not the answer he was looking for. We distribute books, Prabhupada, to enlighten people, to spread Krishna consciousness, to give knowledge, to save human society. Yes, 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 but Prabhupada said no. And Prabhupada went to the fundamental reason why we distribute books. He said we distribute books because we want to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta smile. That's the reason. So, and then I was in this lecture, probably many of you have heard this lecture, and Prabhupada said, if you distribute books, you'll be doubly blessed. And Prabhupada meant, you'll get my blessings, but you'll get the blessings of my spiritual master, because this is what he ordered me. And then Prabhupada said that the grandfather's blessings are always greater. So sometimes Prabhupada would say, be doubly blessed. You know, like double coupon. You know, buy one, get one free. Yeah, distribute one book, get double blessings. You know, so that was... Prabhupada's mood, that we want to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta smile. If he smiles, if we do what pleases him, we get his blessings. If we get his blessings, everything works, right? That's the whole system. Not necessarily always doing exactly this or that, but doing what will give blessings. And when you get blessings, everything works. So, yes. Our greatest desire is to please Srila Prabhupada. And often he said, if you want to please me, distribute my books. So those of you who are engaged in this opportunity should feel very fortunate and grateful that you can be engaged in a way that can give Prabhupada so much pleasure. And feel that it is a great honor and a great fortune to be engaged in such intimate service to Srila Prabhupada, such a service that gives him so much pleasure. And I want to read something. This is kind of a famous quote, and I think I was actually there. It's hard to remember because I've seen this on video, but I think I was there when Prabhupada said it, and I'm 99% sure I was there, and it was a bit shocking. And let me give you some context before. Yeah. We're familiar with the book Life Comes from Life, and Srup Damodar Maharaj, who was that, and then a brahmachari, was a student doing a PhD. And he was a student about 60 miles from Los Angeles, and he would come and meet Prabhupada. So when they would go on morning walks, because he was there, they would have all these scientific debates. And so these debates would then spill over into Prabhupada's classes, and he would talk about these things. And we got the clear impression that Prabhupada was very upset about what atheistic science is doing to the world. But we also knew that he was upset about what atheistic or irreligious politicians are doing to the world and atheistic or irreligious educators are doing to the world. And his mission was to expose them, expose the cheating to the innocent public so they could see how they were being cheated. And so when Prabhupada was writing his books, he would say, I feel when I'm writing that I'm creating a revolution, because he's exposing all the cheating on all levels of society. So you can imagine Prabhupada's in his room and he's writing these books, dictating, and he's making it clear how we're being cheated and also how we're being cheated by Maya and how we're entangled. So Prabhupada definitely was a revolutionary. And so during this time, we were introduced, I was living in the temple there, and we were introduced to something we never saw before. Prabhupada attacking atheists, scientists who proposed that everything comes from matter by chance and so forth. But we never saw this before. And then we began to understand. Prabhupada clearly put the dots together of how this is undermining the spirituality of people. It's an essential ingredient for materialistic civilization. And if you study the history of civilization in relation to the development of materialism, you'll see that this is a key element of materialism, that we're just physical beings. When we die, everything is finished. So what's the conclusion? Go shopping, basically. Acquire, right? That's the perfect conclusion. When you die, you can't take it with you, so get it all now. So, and Prabhupada understood how the scientists had become the gurus, the acharyas, and how people had faith in them so that whatever they said was accepted as fact. And he said, it's not fact. He challenged it. So we were seeing this for the first time, this revolutionary aspect of Prabhupada in this context. And it made us more and more feel that when we were going on book distribution, that we were revolutionaries doing something to expose the cheating that goes on that people don't see or don't want to admit. So then, within that context, this is the time, around the time those walks are going, Prabhupada said this. There is no comparison. There is no literature throughout the universe like Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no comparison. There is no competition. Every word is for the good of human society. Every word, each and every word. Therefore, we stress so much in the book distribution. Somehow or other, if the book goes in one's hand, he will benefit it. He will be benefited. At least he will see. Oh, they have taken so much price. In other words, he spent some money. So I spent some money, I might as well look at the book. That's what he means. Oh, they have taken so much price. Let me see what is there. If he reads one shloka, his life will be successful. If one shloka, one word. So he's saying, okay, even if they just see the book, but they paid, they'll open it, they'll look, and they'll read one shloka. But even if they don't read one shloka, if they read one word, it's, you know, it's transcendental literature. His life will be successful. This is such a nice thing. Therefore, we are distressing so much. Please distribute a book. Please distribute a book. Please distribute a book. A greater mridanga. We are chanting, playing our mridanga. It is heard within this room or a little more. But this mridanga will go home to home, country to country, community to community, this mridanga. That's Los Angeles, January 5th, 1974 lecture. How many of you have heard that lecture before? Okay, only a few. Then we have to read it again. This is kind of the Paribhasa Sutra of book distribution. This is like the, you know. And this is, in, book distribution took off around 1972. So by now, it was escalating like tremendously by 1974. 75, 76, it was really peaked much more. But by now, it was happening. And as it was increasing, Prabhupada was encouraging. More, you'll see more and more letters encouraging book distribution coming in response to the enthusiasm of devotees. So let's read it again. There is no comparison. There is no literature throughout the universe like Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no comparison. There is no competition. Every word is for the good of human society. Every word, each and every word. Therefore, we stress so much in the book distribution. Somehow or other, if the book goes in one's hand, he will be benefited. At least he will see, oh, they have taken so much price. Let me see what is there. If he reads one shloka, his life will be successful. If one shloka, one word, this is such nice thing, therefore we are stressing so much. Please distribute book. Please distribute book. Please distribute book. A greater mridanga. We are chanting, playing our mridanga. It is heard within this room or little more, but this mridanga will go home to home, country to country, community to community. This mridanga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So then we distributed many, 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 many books. And sometimes we couldn't see a result. So why are we distributing so many books? Doesn't seem like a lot is happening. Something's happening, but people are not reading them. So we had some doubts. And Prabhupada said a couple of things about those doubts. First thing he said, I follow the order of my spiritual master. He said, I don't even know what the result will be. Although Prabhupada said so many things would happen by distributing books, this conversation, in this context of, well, we don't really see so much of a result, Prabhupada said, I do not know what the result is, but I follow blindly the order of my spiritual master. He told me to do this, and therefore I do it. And then, as I said, and then by doing that, we get his blessings, that he's pleased. So I follow blindly. Trusting that because this is the order, this is the right thing, therefore I do it. And it's sometimes Prabhupada said, when my spiritual master is right, he's right. And when my spiritual master is wrong, he's right. So what did Prabhupada mean? I think he's wrong. I don't understand how it's right. So, and then Prabhupada later said something very interesting. He said, doesn't matter if they read the book, if they just touch it, they'll be benefited. And they give some donation, they'll be benefited. Their spiritual life is beginning, it's devotional service. And once I was thinking of an interesting way to look at Bhagavad Gita. And I was thinking, Bhagavad Gita is really an invitation from Krishna to go back home, back to Godhead. So long ago, we left, we turned our back on Krishna, and here we are in this world. Excuse me, sir, I have a little book. It's an invitation from God to go back to his home. Are you interested? No, thank you, I'm not interested. And I was thinking, okay, we left the spiritual world, and now Krishna's giving us a second chance, and we're so foolish. Nah. No, thank you. I'm not really interested. So, fortunately, even though you're not interested, I'm interested that you be interested. I'm interested in you going back to Godhead, even if you're not interested. That is the mood of the devotee. And I was thinking about something that happens on Sankirtan that's very, very special and why it's so blissful even when it's not blissful. Sometimes it's not blissful. You don't do well. People get upset with you. It's raining. There's traffic. You're breathing in the fumes of all the buses. It'd be more comfortable just to stay home, right? But why is it so special? Because when you go out and give Krishna consciousness, it forces you, it draws compassion out of you because you can't do it without compassion. Unless you actually care about these people, how could you stay on the street when it's cold, rainy, noisy, and people are not so happy when you approach? How can you do that? So it forces compassion to come out of us. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And what we see when devotees... I used to have this experience. It's a very funny experience. This was... I was temple president in Vancouver, Canada in 1970 when I was a mature adult in 1970. I'm actually 300 years old. It doesn't look like... No, I was 20 years old. And... What was I saying? What was the point I just made before that? Before that? Compassion, yes. So, the movement was young. I think at that time there may be 20 temples in the world. And it was just four of us there. So it was always a struggle to get the devotees to go out on Sankirtan. They didn't want to go out, and it was winter, and it was cold, snowing. And practically, I was pushing them out the door and then locking the door because they might run back up the stairs, you know. But the interesting thing is, at 6 o'clock when it was time to go back, nobody wanted to go back because they'd say, but there's another person I could give a book to. So what was happening is the process of Sankirtan was awakening compassion. The more you did it, the more compassionate you became. And the happiness and the bliss you feel on Sankirtan is partially due to the fact that this compassion swells up inside of you and you're feeling so good and you just want to keep giving and giving and giving, isn't it? I may not be compassionate, but this is a compassionate activity, and by doing it, it arouses whatever compassion is there lying in my heart. And Prabhupada was once asked, said, how do you become compassionate? And he said, serve the movement of compassion. So in other words, engage in this act. It's a compassionate act. You may not be compassionate, but the act is compassionate. And if you do the compassionate act, compassion swells up inside of you. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Ananda Ki. When so a lot of times we see devotees who don't normally go out on book distribution. They go out and they have an experience which you could say in many senses is unique in their devotional service. Something is going on when they're on the street that's special. And it's what's happening is we're becoming selfless. We wouldn't be out there for ourselves, as I was saying. We wouldn't be out on Oxford Street for ourselves. We'd be in the restaurant, right? Thinking about all the poor people walking down Oxford Street, trying to be happy by shopping. But, or maybe we'd be shopping. But we're out there to help them. And so we go beyond ourselves. And so the Sankirtan makes you, just forces you to be selfless. It doesn't work if you're not selfless. So that's when we become selfless, at that point we become happy. Because as long as we're thinking, am I comfortable? What do I want? There's anxiety there. But when you're only thinking about how I can help this other person, that's the point at which you start to experience real happiness. Isn't it? Of course, you experience happiness in kirtan, so many things. But that special kind of happiness that comes from being free from thinking about yourself, that's what happens on Sankirtan. So you go out, let me help this person. And if you don't think that way, it doesn't work. You're forced to think that way. Otherwise, you can't stay out there. It's like, why am I doing this? This, you know, I don't even like this. And let them all go to hell. They don't care anyway. You know, it doesn't work. Right? Then you just sit down and cry. You have to be in that consciousness. And therefore, the beauty of Sankirtan is how much it not only helps people, but how much it helps us and how much we need it. And there's a purport in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada said, unless we're always giving Krishna to others, it's difficult to be Krishna conscious. But when we're giving it, it's very easy. I spent 9 years living in Mayapur. And Mayapur is, of course, Krishna's abode. It's transcendental. But sometimes I just feel like I have to leave Mayapur and go preach. I would feel that, you know, and you think, why would you want to leave Mayapur? It's the holy dhamma. And can't you preach in Mayapur? Yes, but I don't speak Bengali. And I do preach in Mayapur. But sometimes I just feel like for my own spiritual life, I need to meet people who don't know anything about Krishna and give it to them. So that's one of the great beauties of book distribution. It is not only beneficial for people, but it's beneficial, it's so beneficial for us. Now, Prabhupada showed us how suffering exists in this world. And he said something that's a little bit funny, but it's very profound. He said, in the spiritual world, there's no work, which is why I joined ISKCON, because I was a hippie and I didn't like to work. And when they said there's no work in the spiritual world, I said, where do I sign up? But when you get to the spiritual world, there's no factories, there's no IT sector, there's no corporate sector. Nobody works. You just have fun. You just play. Oh, that'll be boring. You're always playing. No, it's not boring. Don't worry. So then Prabhupada said, in the world, in this world, your punishment is your work. You say, no, but I love my job. It's your punishment. You go to work every day. That's the punishment. It's the price you have to pay to live in this world. You have to work. But it's a punishment because in the spiritual world you don't work. So I think we can understand that, especially most people do not like their jobs and most people would rather not work if they had an option. If you could just get a paycheck and not work, most people would say, okay, why not? Yeah. Most people would not say, no, but I love my job. So people are working very hard, we know that. But they're also working very hard for what? For happiness. So they're working hard to pay their bills, and then when they're not working hard to pay their bills, they're working hard to find happiness. So they're walking down Oxford Street or wherever, shopping. Why are they shopping? To find happiness. Why are they in the pub? Well, not to find happiness, to forget their unhappiness, but it depends how you put it, but we understand that. They're trying to find happiness by dousing out their unhappiness. So there's a struggle to find happiness, isn't it? Because finding happiness is very difficult. So you're approaching someone, and basically their life is just working to pay the bills and working to find happiness. And they never finish paying the bills, and they never find happiness. And you come up to them, and you're trying to pop that little bubble of material existence. And maybe this will be their only connection with Krishna in this life. You don't know. Maybe you are the only one. And so our mentality when we approach people is that it hurts me to see you suffer, and I want to help stop the suffering. That is the fundamental consciousness with which book distribution would be successful. We see their suffering. Even if they walk out of a Rolls Royce in a Gucci suit, we still see, oh my God, you must be so unhappy because you have all these things that can't make you happy. And you have everything to make you happy and you're not happy. You must be really miserable. We have to see that, but not only see it, we have to understand that, but also feel it. And that feeling becomes the impetus to make the sacrifice to want to help people because we actually care. And then when we're in that consciousness of actually caring, that's Krishna consciousness. That Prabhupada said compassion is the highest emotion, the highest principle of spirituality, the highest principle of a Vaishnava. So that's the fundamental position that we enter the Sankirtan movement in. And that's exactly how all the acharyas saw people. That is exactly their motive in spreading Krishna consciousness. That is exactly Prabhupada's mood. And so when we represent that mood, then everything expands from that, right? We become successful. Yes? So Prabhupada said, as we just read, if they read one word, so excuse me, sir, could you read one word out of this book? Krishna, the Supreme Personality. Thank you very much. Is that all? Well, if you like the book, you could take it. It's a great book, but at least you read one word. And if you can't get into it, read one word. Excuse me, sir, could you hold this book for a second? I have to tie my shoe. One Sankirtan devotee used to do that because he couldn't get people to take books. He goes, excuse me, could you hold this? I need to tie my shoe. And then he would tie his shoe. And he said, no, you could have the book. So sounds funny. And this devotee is very funny. But Prabhupada's saying, but even if they touch the book, because the book is a deity. How many books did you distribute today, Prabhu? I distributed about 25, but I got 1,000 people to touch the book. Okay, 1,000 people touched. And okay, I'm not such a great book distributor, but 1,000 people touched it. I've done some seva. I've helped 1,000 people. Of course, you'd like to distribute 1,000 books, but there's no loss because you give people the opportunity. Now, the last thing I want to say is a beautiful story. And this is a story about how to distribute books. And this came from Prabhupada. And as you know, today, we're in ISKCON, we're very much about education and very much about training because we lacked so much education and training in the earlier years and it created problems. So during Prabhupada's time, one of the book distributors thought, we should train devotees how to distribute books. This is how to approach people, this is what to say, and so forth. Which is especially good if you're not experienced in book distribution, because you just go out on the street and you don't know what to do and say, well, just say this and say that and say this and say that. And all of a sudden you say this, that, and that, and they stop, they open the book, they take it, and they pull their wallet out, and you don't even know how it happened. So that's good. But there's a limitation with that, because then you're stuck in a paradigm that, you know, it's like, well, I couldn't I say this or that, or I feel more comfortable saying this, or I think it would be better if I did it this way. So they brought that to Prabhupada and they said, we want to train devotees in book distribution. And Prabhupada thought about it and he said, it's okay, but it's a little artificial. And what did he mean? He went on to say, every man is his own genius. In other words, through your inspiration, Krishna will give you intelligence how to do it. So he felt it was a little artificial just to say, do it this way. Right? This is the line, do it this way. But every man is his own genius. So where does the genius come from? It comes from the inspiration. The inspiration comes from the desire that I want to give, I want to help, I want to serve. Then it comes back from the point that I actually see that people are suffering, and then to the point that it bothers me that people are suffering. One time, Prabhupada was walking in a park. I think it might have been in Melbourne, Australia. He was walking in a park near downtown, you know, maybe 6:30 in the morning. And there was a lot of traffic. And the reason there was a lot of traffic is that people, either they would park near the park and walk downtown because it was expensive, or there's no place to park downtown, so they had to come early. So Prabhupada asked, why is there so much traffic so early in the morning? And said, Srila Prabhupada, it's because these people are going to work now. He said, they're going to work so early? And then Shrutakirti said he saw a little tear come out of Prabhupada's eye. And Prabhupada said, they're working so hard. He felt so bad that people are working so hard. So this is really the mood of a preacher. That he's willing to sacrifice personal comfort. Actually, he doesn't even think about his personal comfort. He's willing to sacrifice that because he actually sees people are suffering and he wants to do something. He actually cares. What an elevated state that is, isn't it? And that's what Prabhupada wanted, because Brahmins care. Brahmins have very few needs. They live very simply. And therefore, their whole energy is in caring for other people. So that's really the foundation upon which the success of our book distribution, the success of our preaching, the success of our movement is built. And We're not doing it to get a maha plate. We're not doing it to get applauded. We're not doing it for any other reason other than Prabhupada wants us to do it. These people are suffering. He wrote all these books and he desperately wanted us to give them to people. Let me read one more thing just to inspire us, then we can have a discussion. Everything within this material world will be destroyed, and therefore one should use everything for good purposes. If one is advanced in knowledge, he must always be prepared to sacrifice anything for a better cause. At the present moment, the entire world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. The Krishna consciousness movement needs many exalted, learned persons who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. We therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna conscious movement and sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving the God consciousness of human society. This is what it means to be a human being, to help other human beings. Not just a Brahmin, but to be a human being. Now, the mood this year, I was told, maybe the mood every year, is not only to distribute books, but to connect people, to not let people go, but to make connections. And this is a beautiful, beautiful idea. And this is something that has been missing in many of the book distribution programs we've had over the years. Not only to meet people, but to connect people to different programs or connect them to yourself. Stay in touch with them. So that way we're dealing with people very personally. Otherwise, sometimes book distribution can be about numbers. How many books did you distribute? As opposed to how many souls did you connect with? I can't even remember the names or faces of anybody. So we want to be more personal. And the last thought I will leave you with, and a beautiful thought, is what Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, that we understand people's suffering through our own suffering, through our own experience. We all have a body. We all have a mind. So we know what it's like to be a conditioned soul. You ever have, an upset stomach? You know what it's like. You want to get out of your body. You have a headache. You wish you could get out of your body. Somebody yells at you. It disturbs your mind. You can't get out of your mind. It's agitating you. We know what it's like to have a body. We know what it's like to have anxiety about how we're going to maintain ourselves, how we're going to maintain our families. What about my job security? I'm getting old. What about my health? We know all these things, and everyone in this world has the same anxiety. And so Krishna says that for the devotee, he can empathize with people suffering because of his own suffering. He knows what it is. And so when he sees people, he thinks, yes, all of these people are in bodies, and it's really difficult to be in a body. Have you noticed? Isn't it? Just simple thing, like you're out on the street and you need to relieve yourself and there's nowhere to go. What do you do? Especially when you really need to relieve yourself. Just a little thing like that, a little discomfort. It's because we have a body. The spirit soul is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and now he's trapped inside a body which is temporary, ignorant, and miserable. That's painful, isn't it? I mean, think about it. It's really painful to be in a body. And so the acharyas say something amazing. They say that the devotee is more compassionate than Krishna because Krishna doesn't suffer, so he doesn't really know what suffering is. But when we come to the world and get a body, we know what suffering is, so therefore we can be more compassionate because we can relate to the suffering of the conditioned soul, who is full of anxiety, trying to figure out how to be happy, and nothing works. And still they won't give up. And they're working a job they hate, as we said. And therefore, that the mood that the devotee has, the mood that the acharyas have, and the mood that we should have, is that just as I am suffering or was suffering, I can relate to them, and it's almost like I feel their suffering by that relationship, and I want to do something. And when you can feel people suffering, then your inspiration to help them somehow or other becomes urgent, and somehow or other you will figure out, Krishna, the genius within, will help you figure out how to connect with them. And some devotees, they would pray to the super soul. They would see a super soul in that person's heart, and they would pray to the super soul, please, just let him say yes when I give the book. But that's really the mood. And the other mood, of course, is your sadhana, your spiritual strength. Because without spiritual strength, we can't really do much. So we don't want to rely on material strength. We don't want to rely on the mode of passion. You know? Listen to rock and roll music and then get fired up and go on Sankirtan, you know. No, that's it's our strength, the power, the purity of our chanting. this is all important. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have time for anything? Questions or comments or... Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much. Now, you spoke the price for the book.
Spoke about what?
The price for the book.
Price for the book. Paying for the book, and yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada gave the answer, so.
But I just want to know what to say to this other person. The specific topic, we have a midday Harinam group on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one devotee, he insists on giving us the non-fast books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. To deal with that situation. Well, Prabhupada was asked this question, and he gave a practical answer. I mean, you know, it's also, you know, he said, you know, if I spend some money, I'll look at the book because I think, well, I spent some money. Then they may take it cheaply. They may or may not. It will depend on the individual. That was a general principle. If they pay, of course, it's good for them if they give a donation. But then finally Prabhupada said the way they were doing it was they were collecting money. This is how they would do it. They were doing they would give out incense, collect money, then give a magazine. So maybe someone would give, this was in America, so we'll talk in dollars. Maybe someone would give a dollar and they give them a magazine. And maybe the magazine cost 25 cents. So at a point when they had enough money, they could give someone a Bhagavatam. So let's say I showed them a magazine, but I'd gotten 10 people to give me $10 and the cost of the magazine was only 4 or 5, so now I had $5 to give a Bhagavatam. So instead of giving them a magazine when they gave their dollar, they'd give him a Bhagavatam. That was just a technique they used. And so, you know, some devotees, it was questionable because there were devotees who could just distribute Bhagavatams and get $5 or $10. So when it came to Prabhupada, he just asked the question, are the books being paid for? And they said, yes, Prabhupada. And he said, then you do it the way you want as long as you pay for the books. So both principles are there. If they can give money, you know, they'll think, okay, I spent money, that's good for them, and what's in the book, I should look at it. But it's not a guarantee that they spend money, they'll read it, and it's not a guarantee they won't read it, they didn't spend money. But Prabhupada was kind of leaving it up to us. But to not pay for them and give them out, you can't do that, right? So, you know, maybe...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's only a problem if he's standing next to another devotee who's trying to sell books. Maybe you could ask him to go up the street or something. Yeah, yeah. It's a practical. Vishwambar will resolve it. That's his problem, right? Randy, that was a general answer. Do you know that coming back, the vegetarian karma, what's the higher taste, the chant, Be Happy book, do you know those were all published for university distribution? Did you know that? By Ramashwar? Those were designed for students, small books that they could read that were relevant. And the way that worked is we would raise money and other means, and we'd go on the college campuses, and we just, in those days, college kids didn't have money. Now, somehow, they're credit cards. Maybe they still don't have money, but they have credit cards. So it seems like they have money. But in those days, we couldn't really sell books so well. So those books were published for that reason. And so we would raise money in one place and then go to the campus, and we'd let them have the book for very little or free. So there may be time, place, circumstance, but maybe the place he should distribute and the circumstance shouldn't infringe upon the regular book distribution. But in principle, if he buys the books, he can do what he wants, right? Yeah? Just as long as it doesn't create a problem for the other book distribution. You know also what's interesting, what we found. Sometimes people sponsor books and they'll give them to you. So you have like a whole box of Gitas that you can give out. You don't have to get anything for them. So you're totally just like, you're not worried about the money because they're already paid for. Sometimes in that situation, you actually get more money because you're not in anxiety about it, and people feel you're not in anxiety and they more freely give. Where it's like, I got to get so much for each book. They kind of feel it sometimes. I don't know if you experience that, but sometimes it's like, you know, you don't care, and when you don't care, they don't care. I want to tell a funny story because this could help you. This was in the days we distributed in America. I don't know if you did that here, but in America, the prominent place we distributed books was in airports. In Los Angeles Airport, we had 50 devotees a day going out in two shifts, two six-hour shifts. Between 9 in the morning and 9 in the evening, we had first shift, 25 devotees in each shift. So 50 Sankirtan devotees every day. That was there may be a few other places, but that was the main thing. And the problem we started running into was that when the airport was slow, in those days, I think it was different. Like the check-in people, they seemed kind of like to be hanging around even when there was nobody to check in, waiting for the. So when they had nothing to do, we're there and they're just looking at us. You know, and we're, excuse me, sir, this is a beautiful book about peace and happiness. And, you know, like, can you give a donation? And can I give you change for 20? And, you know, could you give 10? And they're watching us do these things, you know. People say, I want to give 5. Well, today's Monday. You know, everybody gives 10 on Monday. Couldn't you do that? And, well, thank you so much. And, you know, they don't even let them answer. And yet, that's really nice of you. And they're watching this. And it's like, this is disturbing because these are actually their customers. And we're doing this with their customers. That's how the main thing was the money, the exchange of money. We would always encourage people. That's not the right word, but I'll just make you feel good and say, we would encourage people to give more than they wanted. And so they would see that. I guess we could say swindle, huh? Cheat. And so they're watching this. And then at one point, one day, the airlines assign people to follow us around to tell people they don't have to take these books. They were trying to just harass us and make it impossible for us to distribute books so we wouldn't do it, right? So, you know, when I said Prabhupada said every man's his own genius, so one lady was assigned to me. So I'd go up to someone, show them the book, tell them, and then she would go up and say, you don't have to take the book. I'm like, okay, like, what do I do now? So Krishna, and you could use this line, it really works. Krishna just inspired me spontaneously that I would say what she was going to say rather than her say it. No, she said, you don't have to give a donation. That's what she said. You don't have to. Because they thought if they stopped the money, we would leave. If we couldn't make any money, we would go. So I would give the book, and I'd say, we asked for donations, but you don't have to give a donation if you don't want to. Isn't that right? And she had her name badge. You know, isn't that right, Mrs. Jones? And she said, yeah, that's right. And so what happened was they thought I was part of the airport because an airline employee was with me and they would all give donations. And she didn't figure that out. And finally, after like the third sale, she said, wait a minute, he's using me. And she changed her line. But she was in high heels, so I would run to the other side of the airport. Whenever she'd come up to me, I was like 22, and I would just run, and she couldn't run, you know, and I'd talk to someone, and she'd be coming running. So we'd have fun. But the reason I'm telling you this is that after that, I thought, well, this was a very good line. So I would tell people, you know, we're just getting donations. We're monks or whatever we'd say. And say, you know, you don't have to give if you don't want to. It's totally up to you. And it's like all this pressure and guilt's on them now. Like, you know, of course I'm going to give a donation, you know, because you're not forcing me. So there is that also. You don't have to give if you don't want to. It's just, you know, we appreciate it. It'd be really nice and kind of you if you could, like a good human being. Everyone should give, you know. But you don't have to if you don't want to. You know, we didn't say it like that. You know, you can be an idiot and not give. But that was the connotation that that's the way they took it. So it actually worked. So I don't know, you could try that, see what happens. That was a long answer to your question. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. She's asking if we're speaking to someone and they're not agreeing, should we stop? Maybe, or say something else that they would agree with, or put a gulab jamun in their mouth, or we do things in America I don't think you could get away with in England. But a lot of times when I would talk to people who asked for donations, I would joke with them and I would put my finger on their stomach because it's kind of like an intimate friendship. And with certain people, you could do that. Certain, like Latinos, you could do that. They're very, like, they like treat you like they know you. So, you know, there are ways of dealing with people too. I'm not saying you do that, but there are ways of dealing with people that can open them up. And people don't want to feel challenged, obviously. But also there's the thought that I have, especially nowadays, there's so many interested people. Why try to sell something to someone who doesn't want it when there's so many interested people who want it, who are walking by at that, and you're wasting time, you know? So it's like, but if you have prasadam or give them a card and say, could you say Hare Krishna? And they'll, you know, at least they said Hare Krishna. As Vaisheshika Prabhu says, when they ask, what does Hare Krishna mean? Or he tells them, it means, I need help. Do you need help? And everyone will say, yeah. Yeah, it means I need help. You do that? Did you say that? I need help? Chant the mantra, I need, yeah. So, if someone is not accepting, I think, well, maybe that's just who they are, or maybe that I didn't present it properly. Maybe I could do it better. But not everyone will accept, even Srila Prabhupada, personally. So, is that okay? All right. Now, looks like something is going to happen. But you're so lucky that we have books on Japa, my Japa Affirmations book, which I thought I sold out, and I came here, and we have some. So we have a table there. I have some other books. If you're interested, because you want to distribute books, you need good japa. This was a book that was born out of my experience with japa, teaching it for 10 or 15 years. And it's taken the principles and put them into affirmations. It's been really well received, and it really helps a lot of devotees. So that may be something that could help you during this marathon. And we have other books also, and new books you haven't seen. And USB sticks with lectures, if you're interested. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Gopremanand ki jai.